So go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke 10 today. So we're going to look at the meal with Martha, Mary, supposedly Lazarus, Jesus, and more than likely the disciples were with him, is what most people believe. So I put one little trivia message in by email, so I'll ask that question again. Three times in the New Testament, this recorded, and the words are, the Son of Man came, and there's three times that that sentence finished out. Anybody can tell me those three times what it says?
To serve, not to be served. I know the main one.
That's one.
Seeking to save that.
Oh, that's number two.
Give his life.
That wasn't the third one. That was not the third one. The first two was correct. This is direct quotes. The Son of Man came to eat and drink with the sinners. So, kind of apropos to our series, you know, Dinners with Jesus. So today, as we look with this, if you use the knowledge of the New Testament, you'll know that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were very good friends with Jesus. You remember what happened when Jesus had heard that Lazarus had died, and what he did? He wept, right? So, as we know that they became good friends, we know that he stayed at their house, on more than one occasion. Bethany's about 2 miles ish from downtown Jerusalem, so it's a short walk as compared. I was researching this, I looking at Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, I thought it was interesting. The big thing that was Googled was Martha and Lazarus married. It's evidently a bunch of people thought that didn't know that they were brothers and sisters. So we're going to look at several really kind of interesting things about this meal that took place. And I want to throw out a few things, and then we'll look at them a little bit more in detail in a minute. It was interesting that Luke records the fact that Martha invited him to a meal. Very counter Jewish tradition wise for a lady to be inviting a man over to a meal. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we're going to compare that in a little while about, what Paul talked about in his studies with Gamaliel. So there's some really interesting things about this. And if you read a lot again, and y'all know how much I Google different things, is there's a lot of historical beliefs that this Mary could or was Mary Magdalene. That actually the Catholic Church thought that for a long, long time. I don't know if they still do or not. The other popular belief for many years, and several things was written about this is many, many, many years ago, was that the prostitute that was at the Pharisee's house was in fact this Mary. And if anybody watched The Chosen yet, if you ever saw how Mary Magdalene there was introduced into the program. So I guess that kind of all ties back together a little bit. So I thought it was kind of interesting if you do this research. All right. So this is one of the first examples, outside of Levi being the newly converted, Christian, where somebody outside the Pharisees or the Jewish ruling sect had invited Jesus over for a meal. And, it doesn't mention in the recorded part about any other visitors. Again, most people believe that the disciples were there. So if you take the disciples and, you know, here's Mary cooking for 16 people. I don't know if you've ever cooked for 16 people by yourself or not. That's enough to get you more than excited that she was. We're going to look at that here in a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I've been in that boat more than one time myself. So let's go ahead and I want to read the text in its whole part, and then we're going to come back and look at it a couple of phrases as we go through. All right. Luke 10, starting with verse 38. Now, and again, this is Luke records this, and we mentioned last week, and I'm starting to watch this more and more and more. If you read Luke and watch the way he records things, I don't think it's by accident what he puts in order. And we talked about this last week, how he bookend the last week's meal with two different things about what Herod thought, what people thought that who Jesus was. So I think Luke does this very intentionally, and sometimes it takes a little of us for digging and really studying what Luke writes to understand why he writes it. But this actually follows a parable of the Good Samaritan that Luke had recorded for that. So we'll kind of see if we can play that off each other here just in a minute. All right. Luke 10, starting with verse 38. And this is the New King James Version. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and that village was Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus's feet and heard his word. Also, you would think that means there was more than one person sitting at Jesus's feet. More than likely Lazarus also. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, the Lord Jesus, and said this, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." And you could almost, Bill said this one time before about what I can remember talking about. You could almost, if Jesus wore reading glasses, you could see him almost pulling it going, "Martha, Martha, really, Martha." You know, so you can almost visualize that happening as he's talking to Martha, right? So as we look at this story, and I thought several things popped out at me. One, it doesn't talk that if Martha really truly knows who Jesus is at this point, you think she probably does because she called him Lord. But you know, here you're going telling the Lord Jesus Christ what to do. Like, really? You know, or why don't you do this, or question his answers? I thought that was pretty fun. All right. So, if you look at this story and you look at what Martha and Mary is doing, it breaks several things that I thought was very interesting. All right. It breaks Jewish tradition, one that Martha is being the one mostly associated with Jesus, talking with Jesus, inviting him over. It breaks Jewish tradition to have a female in the room, quote, where it was predominantly men. So there you have Mary sitting there. And if you go through the New Testament, obviously Jesus is breaking all these barriers down. So here's two things. And it was, I would have loved to have heard the side conversations from the disciples during this period, especially Peter. Like, can you imagine, like, you know, what his side conversation had been going on, probably back to John about all this. All right. So let's break down real quick, and we're going to come back to it, the three players that's involved in this story. All right. So verse 39, let's look at 39 real quick. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus's feet and heard his words. All right. There's a Jewish idiom, or whatever you want to call it. And I don't have the Greek word for that. I forgot to look that up. That surprises me. I should have done that. But it talks about sitting or being at the feet of someone. And Luke also uses this when he's talking about Paul studying, and the true word translation there is studying at the feet of Gamaliel. In other words, you're sitting at somebody's feet, hearing, learning, or being taught by what they have to say. So Mary is sitting there while Jesus is talking. again, love to know exactly what he was saying. And she is in a learning mode. Again, extremely breaking Jewish tradition. If you were to look at this situation and see this, could you imagine the look on Mary's face as she looked to the face of Jesus sitting on the floor with him sitting on some type of a chair or whatever, or reclining? Could you imagine the look up at his face, the look on her face? Can you imagine that? Studying at the feet of Jesus. Pretty cool. We could probably take some learn from that by studying at the feet of Jesus, couldn't we? All right. Now let's look at Martha real quick. All right. So here's again two sisters at Martha's house. Lazarus is probably sitting there, more than likely one of the others that Luke writes about that's sitting there hearing what Jesus has to say. And here's Martha sitting there. Now, she's in another room, and you can visualize this, and I got a chuckle out of it at this point. You could probably hear a couple of pots slam down real quick, and a couple of and a few choice words being thrown around, you know. Can't believe she's sitting in there while I'm doing all this work. And evidently the pot boiled over, so to speak. And then she goes to Jesus to ask him to rebuke Mary. Now, I find it odd from sisters that she probably wouldn't have attacked her one-on-one to begin with. And she may already have. She may have yanked her around a couple of times, like, get in here and help me. I'm trying to feed 16 people here. Are you kidding me? You know? So as Mary's putting this together, and here's another question for you. Have you there's a joke, and I read this joke again yesterday, and it talked about this lady, and she goes to her mailbox one afternoon after work, and it says, I'll be at your house tomorrow for dinner, Jesus. Y'all ever heard this little story? She's really kind of cool. So the lady gets this card, and it says, I'll be over tomorrow night for dinner, and it's signed Jesus. So she goes to the bank, she pulls out what little money she had. And she goes to buy the food for this meal. Well, in the process of finding it, she finds this homeless person who is cold, no coat, not that. So she takes the money and buys the coat for the homeless person. And then all the way home, she's like, oh man, what am I going to do? I have nothing to feed Jesus. Nothing. So she gets home, she goes to the mailbox, open the mailbox, and there's a card in there. And a card says, looking forward to dinner tonight. Thank you for the coat. It's not about what you eat, is it? It's nothing to do with what you eat. So here's Martha. She's upset about trying to fix this, probably the best meal she could come up to fix for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary's not helping anything, and she's sitting in there, reclined back, listening to Jesus talk. So as Martha goes up and tells him to that, what is it that Jesus tells Martha? Let's look real closely at what he says again, very closely. And he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Now, if you'd got to know that Jesus was coming to dinner at your house, would you be worried and troubled? My wife would have been up all night cleaning.
She called me.
And she would have called Annette. She would have washed the dogs. She would have had me to cut the grass. You see my point here, right? So obviously you can take from this that whatever was going on, Martha was stressed because she wanted this to be a good meal, right? I mean, again, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So she wants a good meal. And what does Jesus turn around and tell her? Martha, Martha, you worried about things, honey, that don't matter. It don't matter. It doesn't matter if we have lamb kebabs. It doesn't matter if we have the best rice there is to get. It doesn't matter if you spend a month's salary on the wine for dinner. It doesn't matter. You worried about things, Martha, that doesn't matter. We ever do that? I'm the world's worst at that. I get caught up in details sometimes that has no bearing whatsoever on whatever it is going on, and I lose track of what's really, really I need to be focused on. You ever do that?
Well, there's a phrase, I don't remember where I heard it, you, but you
know. Yeah, really. That got my attention.
The tyranny of, you know, you get so caught up in, well, this has to be done, and this has to be done, and this has to be done, and you can lose the big picture. But, you know, but I have these things that have to be done.
And you can't dismiss it.
No, and that's Martha. She was the hostess. That's a big thing in Middle Eastern culture.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so it's like, no, these people are in my home. I must be a good hostess. I must take care of these people. So I understand it correctly, but she's losing the big picture. But I still, I've always had all the sympathy in the world.
So, oh, I do too. I do.
Yeah, but I see. I mean, just. There's a reason it's here. Yeah. But yeah, you get caught up in what has to be done.
It's easy to get caught up in speculative. You know, you don't have caring and urgent. Because, you know, we create this non religious sort of thing. We have all sorts of things. But, you know, you might make the extrapolation here is. If you want, you can see if this is an application going forward to our times. Like, she's serving Jesus. You know, so.
Keep going. That's the rest of my lesson. Keep going up.
You said it right there. Martha was still doing things that were necessary. Martha was doing things that were necessary. But she'd come down in there and sat down with Mary and did nothing. Then there wouldn't have been, unless Jesus just provided it, which he could have done.
Well, that was not even necessary.
Maybe they want to.
I guess my point is that you can get caught up with even church service. I get so caught up in doing the work of the Lord that I lose sight of the Lord.
Your relationship.
Yeah.
With
yeah. Or you start seeing your church service as obligatory. Or I feel compelled to do this. I need to do this. I'm obligated to do this. And see, I have to resist that sometimes myself.
You know? I think we all do. Yeah. All of us do.
And the message to me is like, his yoke is easy. It, you know, we don't have to strive so hard. It's not as hard to have a relationship with him as all the stuff we think we need to do.
It's all about the lamb kebabs.
I'm like Don. I think the same thing. I think she's trying to worry too much about material things, and her sister is taking care of the personal things. She's showing the affection and everything, and that's what Mary should.
I'm Martha, though. I'm Martha up one side, down the other. I'm telling you. I'd have been in the same boat as her. I'd have been mad at my sister. I'd have been in the same boat.
Well, there's another risk that he speaks to is Martha's, the status of Martha's dinner and the status of her household is reflected on Martha.
Flex on her.
You know, so, you know, are we doing church service? We're doing it for the Lord. But is there an element of, well, I'm also doing it for my Lord.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to bask in the reflected sunlight, you know, so to speak. I'm going to direct light to the sun, Jesus. But some of that light's going to reflect back on me. And I like the way that feels.
And I'll be honest with you, as a Sunday school teacher, you like to teach to a full room. You know, it's, I mean, but the message should be the same thing. If there's one person sitting there, if there's 21 people sitting there, but from a personal standpoint, it's a whole lot more. I was going to use the word personal rewarding, but satisfying. to teach to 21 than it is to one. So yeah, you get caught up in it, and you get that bounce back effect that you want.
I mean, I experienced that when I taught school.
Yeah.
You know, you got these students who are paying attention, and that gives you, but then you got students that aren't, and it's like, well, then step back. Am I doing this for God's glory? Am I doing this for my, you know, am I doing this for the kids to, you know, like me as a teacher? Or am I doing this for, I want them to love the material that's being discussed?
Well, it's hard to keep it that all
right. Forward.
Yeah. So if I sat there and I listened to what Jesus said to Martha, I can almost hear his next statement, which is a statement I'll ask now. Martha, which is better? Is it better that you feed me a meal in Jewish tradition that honors the household in your house? Because remember, Luke specifically calls out it's Martha's house, not Lazarus' house. It's not Mary's house. It's not their house. It's Martha's house. And just remember what happened at the Pharisees' dinner. Remember what Jesus rebuked them for at the Pharisee dinner? What did he rebuke the Pharisees for?
Not having water for
them. Yeah, you didn't offer to wash my feet. You didn't give me a kiss. Yeah. You didn't welcome me. Yeah, this is back to this Jewish tradition thing, first century Jerusalem, you know. This is a big thing when you're putting on this meal for people, you know, that absolutely, absolutely. So now then Martha's got this side to us, and I can just see Jesus going, hey, Martha, which one's better? Are you more worried about what I'm teaching and what she's learning? Are you more worried about what you look like by having this meal? Which one's more important, Martha? And I can imagine Martha's about the point to where she can crawl under the lowest piece of furniture that she has in her house at this point. But the lesson's back, as Dom's talking about, it's back to us, isn't it? This lesson's back to us. And it was a lesson that obviously Martha learned very hard and firm real quick. But it's a lesson back to us, which is better. And you know, there's still... There's things that we do in the church. There's things that we do in our home. And there's things that we do, tradition or whatever you want to call it. You know, we have the nice cups today with the Lord's Supper. We have the nice little pieces of bread that to do the Lord's Supper. And we go through a process, you know, a tradition, the way it's served and all that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not condemning that whatsoever. But what Jesus is saying right here is, let's don't lose focus on what's really, really important. What's really, really important is your focus on me. Me being Jesus. This is what Jesus said. What's really important is that focus you have on me. Not on the lamb kebabs, not on the couscous, but on me. Is that where our focus is at today? And I challenge you, I think we lose that. We do. And whether it's, you know, we could sit here and we could give 100 examples that all of us has been into in the last 2 or 3 weeks for tradition or whatever it is, but you can lose that focus. And I, again, I can just see Jesus looking at Martha after he does the Martha, Martha thing with his glasses pulled down his nose and like, which is better? Which one's better, Martha?
Because she wanted to be sitting at Jesus' feet too.
No doubt about it.
You can help me, then I can
get there quicker. I think so. I think. I mean, obviously, again, Martha had to know who Jesus was. Again, she referred to him as Lord, so she had to know who he was. And here I'm like, okay, I'm cooking, I'm sweating. You're sitting in there, relaxing, enjoying it. If you come in and help me, we'll all get in there quicker. But that, you know, it didn't come over that way. And then you're going to go tell the Lord.
And y'all help
yourself. What's the, what's it called where you cook your own food I knew, yeah.
You know why she didn't have that thought too.
Well, if you read the profile, I was the oldest of the three. And it said the oldest of the three was that tradition. They were always the one that took charge. Mm-hmm. You know. So she was probably had taken charge and she was like, hey, I'm not gonna trust her to cook the right food or whatever or do whatever. So I mean in her defense.
And everyone over history being older. You know, and Martha knows it. But
well, that's there's some merit to that.
Of course, Jesus comes to her heart. She knows that he knows that Mary's sitting here is not his lady.
We can volunteer to just take over, do everything, and then be resentful about it.
Yes.
Well, that's a good point.
Lazarus was kind of well off, you know, and it seemed to me they wouldn't have had servants to take care of the cooking and stuff. Seems like to me, but.
See, I thought at first by that. I thought that first too, but he doesn't have his own house. He lives with his sister. But that's not mentioned. One guy wrote this, and again, there was a lot of playback on the Good Samaritan parable towards it. And this guy wrote this about this section of scripture. He said, the story of Mary and Martha shows us that we love God in his presence first. And out of that flows service, ministry, and a mission. He said, the lesson, do we need to be radical in doing good, just like the Good Samaritan? But don't take this to mean you should be scrambling around frenetically, overcommitting yourself and becoming overbusy. We ought to sacrifice and endure our hardships, but don't let your service to others distract you from the ultimate reason for your service, which is Jesus himself. Serve, but don't be frantic. Sacrifice and go out of your way, but don't neglect devoted time to worship and prayer and reading the Bible. The point of seeing these things together here in Luke is that there's enough time for both, but don't let your service turn into a frenetic anxiety. So that's why we have the phrase passionately pursuing God. Our mission isn't just drawing people in, sending people out, resulting in the church planning and the region going on and on and on. He said that flows out of our passion pursuit is pursuing the presence of Jesus in our lives. I thought that's pretty good. John Piper put it like this. We're looking for worship to engage our minds with truth in God's reality, but we're also looking for worship then to allow us to respond to that truth. And he goes on to talk about Psalms 95, and it says, oh, come, let us sing. Our minds engage with truth about God and praise. Oh, come, let us worship. Our heart begins to respond with truth and love and worship. And he said, God speaks in a prophetic manner. He said, expectation that many contribute to the scriptures, prayers, starting songs and prophecy. There's a flow in the spirit. And so that flow we can contribute. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And, The guy that I got a lot of this from on his website, he ends it with this. He said, so let's passionately pursue his presence. He said, so Mary and Martha, where it fits in the storyline, shows us that it's neither both. I thought that was pretty good. He said, Mary and Martha, where it fits in the storyline, shows us it's not either. Or neither is it both. In other words, I got from that was, you know, you're wanting to do what this frantic serving side, and let's look away from the food and let's look at it from a serving side. So if we're frantically serving, but we can't stop and listen to what we're serving, you know, we don't necessarily need both all the time, but we don't necessarily need each one's individually. Because if you're frantically serving, you can't be listening, can you? And if you're only listening, then you can't be, you know, have you ever heard the story, you know, you heard people talk about, you know, somebody comes to church and they're here at 9:45 and they sit through Sunday school and they go over there and they sit through the 11 o'clock service. They fold their Bible up and they go get in a car and they go home and they get up the next Sunday morning and repeat. Huh. Is that serving or is that listening? Yeah. So you can't be Martha all the time. You can't be Mary all the time, can you? There's a blend. And I think that's what Jesus was saying. Martha, Martha, you got to look what's important about all this. And to me, there's another part of that that says, okay, you know, Mary, you need to help out a little bit right here too. You know, you've got the right attitude, you got the right thoughts to do it, but there's a little bit of both sometimes that falls into it. Galatians 6:9 tells us, don't get weary in doing good. Mary and Martha shows us a lot of the weariness, anxiety, and worry comes because we've forgotten the business, the one thing at hand: worship, presence, and work. Pray for the weary. So as we close out, I thought it was a really good comparative story in what we're looking about, you know, worship and work. And I think there's a balance between both of them. And I think we all can get over one side or over to the other side too much. And I think sometimes, you know, you can get overzealous on a Mary, you can get overzealous on a Martha. And it's that combination that we're looking for. Thoughts? Anybody? We close out today.
So, what do you believe about the two Marys? You think there's two or something?
I can't find anything in the scriptures that says that they're all the same person.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is the guy's name?